check this out. This is Fresh Fit Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Brand.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up vision.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics, just download the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we be revived up, it's we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's curious for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder masking music show. Free the homie gangster, bro. I see these rappers on the streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch, we coming in strong. I see you feeding for the show.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 736. I'm saying we got a special show tonight. We're going to be interviewing OGGB of BNOC. For those of you who don't know about that, man, you're for a treat because and we're taking it to Nashville tonight. A lot of talent in Nashville. You know, we were able to review albums from cats like Cool Daddy Fresh, Pistol, of course, Haystack, man, Black and Jay. I mean, man, we can go on and on and on. DJ Knight, I believe, was based out of Nashville. He did stuff with Player G out of Memphis. So we're going to have a great show tonight. We're going to talk a lot about the history of the music. Some Mid-South stuff, man. Let's check in with OGGB right now. What's up, fam? You there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on with y'all, man?
Man, welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. Man, you're definitely familiar with Murder Dog Magazine.
Yeah,
I know
I appreciate doing
your album. How you been, man? You been good?
I've been good, man. Just out of the way, man. Just trying to, you know, stay low key, maintain, take care of family, you know. Then when this virus hit, you know, it changed everything. So the fact that we here, it's a blessing in itself.
Man, you're 100% correct. This virus, it really messed up the music industry because, you know, there goes shows, there goes promotional tours, things of that nature. And you just dropped a project, did you not? A mixtape?
Yeah, I got a new one I just released called COVID-20. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knows about 19, so the motivation behind that was to make it the next sickest thing, and that was 20.
Yeah, it's definitely, man, unfortunately, it's going to be COVID-21 here in a little bit, a few more months, because I don't think the way they're handling this situation, man, we're doing so much worse than so many other countries, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. Right. It does seem like we're playing it a totally different way from every other country has played, and it seems like we're behind the ball with this one.
Yeah, we're supposed to be number one, but it looks like, you know, from the outside, we're falling apart. I was talking to a guy from England, and he's like, over here, it's like our ship is sinking, but we got buckets, and we're working to help each other. But when I look to the left, I see this giant cruise ship sinking, and it's on fire, and the captain's throwing gasoline on it. I mean, that's a good analogy of what's going on here from other countries' views.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what
crazy.
It seems like, right.
Yeah, man.
Well,
you know,
it doesn't seem
but,
like we're all moving in the same direction.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you got shit leadership, it shows around the world, you know. I think Canada the other day reported like only like 20 deaths, and we reported like almost 2,000. You know, I mean, it's just, there's no excuse for that. None at all.
Yeah. Especially when the commander in chief's main focus is the next tweet. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Politics from a social media platform. Unreal. I mean, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. You can't make this shit up. You know? And it
right.
just seems to get worse.
Like,
so.
You couldn't believe, you can't believe it can get worse. And it seems like he sets levels to top himself every day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Is that, I mean, this whole thing that's going on, what was your motivation to do this project?
I was able to just, really with more time on my hands, I had made a promise to my brother a couple of years back. He passed in August of 2014 of lung cancer. And taking him back and forth to chemotherapy, just that ride alone, just talking to him about, you know, the music back in the day when we dropped the affiliated project, you know, down there with the artwork with Pen and Pixel. And he was just like, you know, just jokingly like, man, we supposed to be rich right now, dude. Like, we could be doing so much right now. We on the way to the doctor. And I was like, man, I know, I know. And he was like, man, you got to get back in your get it mode. You probably can't even rap no more. And I was like, man, I'll do a song just for you. And I'm going to call it Get It Mode. So I got with a couple of partners of mine, put together some studio time, got me a track, and I did it just for him. And I literally, like, watched my brother's eyes light up and start crying. And he was like, man, if you don't do nothing else, just do a mixtape, just do one for me. And I was like, well, man, I'll do one for you. And, like, maybe 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks later, my brother died.
Oh, man.
So I never got a chance to get him that complete, like, project, you know what I'm saying? So I had started on it, though, like, literally had started on it. And I took that time and was like, you know, it was hard working on it, and it ain't easy as people think when you know who you're doing it for. You know, you're not doing it for, I want 1,000 streams or 1,000,000 streams. I want 1,000,000 people to just hear it. I just really wanted to do it for him. So with that being said, with him being gone, it made it hard to stay focused and do it. Well, Corona put the brakes on the world. It slowed everything down to a complete halt. And I decided to, well, let's use this time wisely, so to speak. So I sent out a post to local friends and producers around my area, around through here. And I got to give a shout out to Play That Beat Wee Wee. You know, that's one of the top producers around here. He sent me like 30-some beats, dude, at one time. So with that being said, I took that as a challenge to try to knock down many of them as I could. So the EP that I sent you, the one that you heard, the COVID-20, like, that was all done in like one day, literally.
That's pure motivation right there. That's your brother. He pushed you to get it back in and do it. How long were you before your brother inspired you to do this? How long was it before you put anything out?
Hey, man, a true, honest answer. I hadn't released anything since around 2002. Like, it
wow.
had literally been, yeah, it had literally had been like 12 years before I had did anything when he asked me for it at that time.
So in a sense, this project is fulfilling your brother's dying wish. That's got to make you feel, you know what I'm saying, very, very happy inside to know that you're able to do that for him.
Right.
I can't imagine.
And one of the biggest bonuses out of it, I have a son that's into music now. And me and his life was strained apart due to, you know, growing up. He grew up with his mom, and that's a whole nother story in itself. But at the end of the day, my son is incarcerated right now, and he's coming home next year. And we've grown a lot closer, you know. I guess it's by force, but God fixed it. So he does music now. So it was like my brother knew, like it wasn't over. So me doing this has opened the door for my son. So, like, man, it's so many blessings that's come from this. And you know, like I know how hard it was to get stuff done back in the day. Nowadays, you can email people tracks and beats and stuff. It's so much simpler now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much simpler now. It's all about just getting it done.
Man, I'm real glad to hear that, man, because it's almost as if your brother is living through what you and your son are about to do and are doing. Like, he's right there with you guys, man. Now, you said
right.
He had cancer. You got a song here called Fuck Cancer. And
right.
When you speak on those trips taking him, I know what that's like. I took my father to chemotherapy, and I took my mother. See, my father passed in 2018, and about a year later, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. She had the operation, and you know, during this whole pandemic, we were taking her to and from chemotherapy and radiation. So it's hell on the family too, you know.
Yeah, because
like
one of the lines in the song is so true. You slowly watch them shrink and shrivel.
Yeah, you know, the thing that makes it very, very rough to deal with, too, is knowing that in America, they allow all these chemicals in just about everything. California is the only state that puts cancer warning labels on products. Why not all the other states?
Right.
You know,
it shows
me that
right.
It's a big business, and it hurts when you know you've lost somebody so some other asshole can put more money in their pocket. That's what makes the anger come out, you know.
And then when you have a leader, that's more worried about TikTok.
Yeah. So you know, what I'm saying that the classic album that you put out, BNOC affiliated, that's you and your brother, the one who passed.
No. Actually, that's another one of my partners. He's the one that started the group with me. That's Ice the Mac 10. So.
Oh, okay. Your brother rap?
No, not at all. My brother was strictly from the streets. Like he did his best to guide me. I guess that's the best way to say it. Like if I was gonna be out there, he was gonna show me how to be out there. So man, he helped me avoid so many potholes and trenches in the streets. Like, I love him from that. Cause like, as in the song said, my dad passed when I was 8. So my brother was what I had. My brother got high and everything, truth be told. But he knew enough and he cared enough about me to make sure that I didn't do that.
Yeah. He wanted you to absolutely. You know. And that's, I think we go through hell so our loved ones don't have to. And that's what he was doing for you. You know, just wanted you not to fall in the same pitfall. But you lost your father to cancer too, huh?
Yeah, I lost my dad when I was 8 years old.
Yeah. You say that in the song, and I was like, oh, man. And then you speak about your brother. How hard was it for you to even do that song? I imagine it was pretty rough to write it.
Extremely. Because the crazy part about it, like I had wrote the verse about my dad years ago. Like it was just on my heart. I wrote it and I never recorded it. And then fast forward to my brother passing, I just felt like I had to. Like, I incorporated both of them. And I tried to explain through my eyes how both days felt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally remember waking up being 8 years old, and I had got so used to seeing my dad go to the hospital. Like, when I came out of my room and seen, you know, the EMTs and the little gurney, they rolling my dad down the hall, like, I was completely unfazed because I was used to it. I was like, well, you know, it's another bad day for Pop. They're going to take him to the doctor. You know, he'll be there for about a week or two, and he'll come on home. And, like, I literally remember standing on my front porch talking to one of my friends across the street, and people started pulling back up and, you know, different family members and stuff. And I was like, man, Mama ain't even here yet. All these people pulling up. So eventually my mom pulled up with one of my aunts, and they walked on in the house. And I said, man, all these people pulling up, I promise to God, dude. I was like, man, they acting like my daddy died or something. Like, I literally remember being on the porch saying that. And then my mom calling me in the house and taking me and my sisters in the room, explaining to us what happened.
Yeah, that's horrible to have to go through that, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, every one of us listening, everybody, man, we're going to lose somebody close to us to cancer, or we're potentially going to have to battle it ourselves. It's horrible. It's such a widespread thing, and you wonder why nobody speaks about that. You don't hear any of these politicians talk about combating cancer or stopping it dead in its tracks. None at all, because it's a big business, you know. They rake in too much money.
There's no money in the cure, exactly.
Yeah, and that's a damn shame. Now, you go to some other countries, they will not poison you like that, you know what I'm saying? But the United States is like a petri dish, like a lab experiment. They don't care what they do to us. I mean, look at the poor people of Flint, Michigan. They still have fucked water. And they've been fighting for that for years. And it's same with so many other communities in this country. You know, you can't even get decent water, and this is supposed to be the number one country in the world. It doesn't make sense at all to me. Let's give them some realism, man.
It's amazing how they sent out so many stimulus checks and all that when the virus hit, but you were saying for years Flint water couldn't be fixed. Like, you know, where did all that money come from?
Yeah, all it needed was, you know, clean pipes. Yeah, they could print money out of thin air if they want to. If they want to is the question. You know,
right.
The virus hit. And another thing I'm noticing with this virus, you know, they downplayed it in the beginning. And Trump's base, I call them cultists because that's what they are. They're zombies. They're the ones making the spread to the point to where we can't have normalcy anymore because they don't believe in wearing masks. They don't care about social distancing. They're making it political. This is not something to be political. You don't have balls just because you're not walking around with a mask on. That just says you're a moron. You got to fucking pay attention to what's really going on. They're actually willingly participating in their own genocide and don't even realize it. It's insanity, brother.
Man.
It really is.
Like, how can that be something to be upset about and it could potentially save your life? Like, I don't get it. Like, you telling me this mask is bothering you that much?
It's something that everybody has to do. You know, and you wear it because you not only to protect yourself, but to protect your loved ones. You know, you don't want to give it to your elderly, you're sick, you're vulnerable. These motherfuckers don't care if they get their own grandmother sick and she dies. It's fucking insane. Really is. Let's give them this track, Fuck Cancer. And then we're going to come back and chop it up some more. I know my brother Sim from France, he's going to want to talk to you as well. We'll be right back with OGGB right here at BNOC in the Murder Master Music Show.
COVID-20. Fuck cancer. For everybody lost somebody.
Fuck cancer.
Now at the age of 8, I attended my first wake, not even grasping the fact that my daddy just passed away. I was young and dumb, infatuated by seeing fam. Losing my pop, I promise, wasn't even part of no plan. I'm in my front yard, here comes a line full of cars. Quickly followed by her, cause see the first one is a hearse. We headed to church, my mom's a sister, won't stop crying. My uncle hugging my brother, heard him whisper that he loves you. Look, this is the first time we met this bitch, cancer. Tiptoeing through niggas' family, but this bitch ain't no dancer. I remember the nights my mama staring at the phone, steady praying and wishing, hoping they say it's in remission. And with that song, see these tears go harder. Imagine trying to explain your 8-year-old, he just lost his father. But yep, she did though, working over the feed phone. Where the hell you think I get this kid in mode? I'm on some old fuck camp. Yeah, rest in peace, CP. That was the story of my daddy. Always serious. I guess it's only right I tell you about my brother. I remember the morning the phone rung and I didn't get the answer. I checked my voicemail, my brother got stage 4 cancer. I heard it in her voice, my mama trying to sound strong. But see, this the same disease in the day that took my daddy home. My brother taught me how to sell dope and coke guns. This loud pack got me dreaming of giving them both lungs. Now ever since the diagnosis was official, I slowly watched his body shrink and shrivel. My mama watched my daddy fight and still die. And she gotta look at my brother and tell him still try. Now it was in God's hand, plus we got these doctor visits, radiation, chemotherapy, and plus prescriptions. Nigga, listen, I'm in the yard on my knees, praying the pain to pass. These young niggas keep off them cats, boys fucking Lord tail. I'm on the back, holding a yawk, wish I could kill cancer. 6 months left, they say hospice is the only answer. Dang, that ain't the call you want, nigga. R.I.P. serious, man. I love y'all, man. My daddy and my brother. Man. Fuck cancer.
Anybody that lost somebody to cancer, this one's for y'all, man.
Man, if you can't feel that, then you don't know what good music is, because that good music is supposed to hit you in the soul, man. That one hits you right in the chest, because especially if you lost somebody to cancer, man, that's got to be difficult for you to listen to, man. I know it is for me, man. It's such a real song, though. It's got to be heard.
Yeah, it takes you somewhere every time you listen to it, like every time.
Yeah, man, that's I commend you for doing that. A lot of people don't share that stuff with, their fans. Definitely needed. Now, the mixtape, what's the name of the mixtape again, and where can they get it?
COVID-20, and right now it's available on all streaming platforms. No matter where you go, I'm there. I'm on Tidal, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, TikTok, you name it, I'm there. Just look for me, GBOG, COVID-20.
Now, what's it like to release something now versus early 2000s or the 90s? What's the main difference?
I guess the audience, like, it seems like the focus really isn't on full albums anymore. Creatively, it seems like the artist is always looking for the next single. Like, the attention span seems to be shorter now, so you got to be quick and graceful with it, I guess the best way to put it.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, too, earlier, it's a lot easier. Back in the day, it was a big production. You had to go to pay each person individually, the graphic artist, you know, the guy, the engineer, producer, the guest feature, you know.
Like now, everybody can make covers, like, with their cell phone and stuff. And, like, that, I don't think they get that they miss that. Like, it's a great feeling, dude, to be talking to one of your friends, like, dude, we're on our way to Houston, Texas, dude. We're finna take our first album cover picture with pen and pixel, dude. Like, that was big to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't get that excitement anymore, because they do everything themselves instantly right there at the touch of a tablet or a phone. So I think they kind of missed that aspect of it.
Yeah. It was a different time. You know, like you said, it was a bigger, like to say I got an album out right now, doors all across the country. Got distribution with Selecto Hits.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
that was huge
right
back then. Did that give you guys a fan base around the globe?
Actually, we did. We picked up it seemed like it started snowballing later after the fact when YouTube and stuff came out. Like, we really didn't know how big our fan base had spread to, like, we saw people upload our music on YouTube. And I didn't necessarily look at it like, ooh, I'm looking, like, look at all the money I'm losing or the streams I'm losing. I saw it as, wow, people still listen to us 20 years later. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Like, and to see the different places that it came from, like far as Washington State all the way to Florida, from California all the way back up to New York to the Midwest, Missouri, and different places, like, had uploaded different songs of ours. That right there made me feel good. You know what I'm saying? It made me feel like we did good songs and people are still listening to them today.
Yeah, it withstood the test of time, and it shows you that you know you can still do it now. Did it help you? You know, like ease you back into getting ready to do another project, or did this just come natural to you?
Well, I believe it pretty much came natural because, like I said, I'm amazed at how easy it is now. Like, you know, you could get with a producer and he can email you an infinite number of tracks and you can sit down and get it all together and then, like, you can go to a pre-production studio. Somebody can come to your house with a laptop, you know what I'm saying, and get everything together before you hit the main studio and drop it. So, like, everything is simplified now,
yeah,
which is cool because compared to the way we used to move, like, it still gives you time to focus on other things, like the promotion of it and, you know what I'm saying, being able to talk to you guys, different stuff that back then you was trying to do 1,000 things, but everything was like a wait process. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I got to wait for the graphics guy to send me the files or the photographer to send me the picture before I could send to you for the magazine. Yeah, it was all a process,
right,
man. You know?
Right,
I
right.
Mean,
because y'all would send us the covers back and be like, well, is this one okay? And okay, you guys got a half a page in Murder Dog, and you know what I'm saying? We'll take it from there. And you know what I'm saying? It was a complete process. A lot of people don't know what we went through before we made that magazine and stuff.
What happened as far as, you know what I'm saying, the foundation of BNOC? Like, how did the group start, and what era was that in? Like, the 80s and 90s?
It was pretty much it picked up around the mid-90s, I'd say around 95, 96. It was pretty much like a neighborhood thing. Like, I guess it was like we had so many people in my neighborhood who had moved from other different parts of the neighborhood and so-called made, I guess what they say, the suburbs. Well, this is when we found out everybody in the suburbs didn't have money. You found out about stuff like Section 8 and all that old type stuff. So we walked around pretty much with a chip on our shoulder because we was always told from different hoods and stuff like, y'all out there, y'all got grass and yards, y'all bougie, you know, all the funny jokes and all of those stuff. So it went from wearing it as a badge of honor, like Bardo niggas on cheese, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was us. And when we started hustling and running our own bags up, I mean, respect garnishes respect. Like, it wasn't no rah-rah like people do now. You got to run out and prove yourself and all that. Like, real recognize real. Once we started hustling and making our own bag and all of those stuff, like, it was no more, ah, well, that's dude them from the suburbs. It was like, nah, that's dude them from the hood.
Yeah. You clearly made an impact, too, in the Mid-South. You know what I'm saying? There was a whole wave of people that were coming out at that time. Like I was saying, Cool Daddy Fresh, Black and Jay. Who were some of the guys that you worked with in the Nashville area?
Well, locally, we never just put anything out. I believe the only thing that we did release with other people were Bottom Boy Records. We did a compilation with Quantic Cash now. Then we also did, another one with Strike One with Chris Kang and the guy C-Note now from out East Nashville. Those were two compilations that we featured on. But other than that, we basically just dropped those projects amongst ourselves solo, just trying to get ourselves out there and get our city known.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it withstood the test of time. I'm going to bring out my brother Sim from France because I know he's got some questions for you. Sim, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, legendary OGGB. It's an honor to have you on the show because you are a management pioneer. So
Thank you.
It's very dope. Yeah. Can you tell us about the processes of production of Affiliate by the J? How it was to do this production, this album, 98?
Well, I got with one of the hottest producers in the city. Like I said, he sent me a plethora of tracks over the beginning of COVID when it first hit, when everybody was in quarantine. So I got with him, and it took about a day or two to just, get back into my vibe and listen to the beats that he had sent me, because I had ideas for all of them. And, like, I kind of want what I talk about to fit the track. So altogether, it took about a 10-day process to write everything, and I think I got everything recorded in about an hour and 45 minutes. Literally, like,
yeah.
no bragging, no nothing. It was just because everything was already written, memorized, and done. So by the time we hit the studio, it was straight to it.
Yeah. And also, you was on a legendary record because you was on a Metal Mix record. It's after the DJ Metal Mix. He's a legend in the South. Can you tell us about him and the label back in the day?
Yeah, DJ Metal Mix. He was one of our first mentors. We all went to high school together, actually. And he started out doing local parties and stuff like that. And once we started doing mixtapes in the city, he heard about us. And he had heard about the buzz we had created for ourselves. And he was like, hey, guys, I'm thinking about getting into this music stuff for real, like deeper than just mixtapes. He said, I'm interested in you guys dropping an album. How do y'all feel about that? And we were like, the fact that you just got enough confidence in us to try, we took it from there. And by him already having a name for doing parties and stuff, it pretty much caught everybody off guard, because he was pretty much the college party DJ. So for him to pick us up doing street music, it was like a shock. But it was such, I guess, captivating music that even they adapted to it. So that was our true first fan base, the people that followed him as a DJ.
Yeah. And when I think about Nashville, Tennessee, it's a way different of the Memphis sound. It's more influenced by Houston or New Orleans or Strabhouse. You have a unique sound in Nashville. I think about Greenway, about Capital Punishment Clique or Pistol. Can you tell us about the Nashville sound?
Well, I guess the best way to put it is we're one of the last people to do the Ice Cube form of rap. I guess that's to say we love storytell rap. We love to take you places in our music. that's one of our biggest influence here. Like that's something we do, and we try our best to find our own lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, we listen to other people, and I think the best way to say it is our sound is influenced by Texas. Mine is, anyway.
Like Mr. Mike.
I was a big, I was a big Scarface, Big Mike fan, and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, I think about Mr. Mike of Strauss, his type of lyricism.
Yeah, a monster, a true monster. He gave me a shout out the other day on one of my birthday posts. Man, blew me away. The fact that he even liked my post, let me say it like that. I was like, wow, that's Mr. Mike, South Circle.
Yeah, crazy. You got a song was Bus When We Must with a Cool Daddy Fresh. How it was to do with this legend tour of Nashville?
Man, it was cool. It was really cool. Like, the fact that we could come together and put that together, and Big Hutch was the guy that produced the track on that beat right there. Like, he was the mastermind behind that one. He figured that would be a cool sound to fit together. So he got with the people that were producing Fresh at the time, and he the one that actually put all that together. Well, fast forward to 2017, me and Cool Daddy Fresh got together again, just like on a tribute to the Fifth Ward Boys out of Texas. If you remember, they had a song called Pussy, Weed, and Alcohol, PWA. Well, me and Cool Daddy Fresh got together, and I went to him. I said, man, I got this idea for this song. I said, man, all these dudes is like dogging their kids and their gals and, you know, just dumb stuff, you know, not no reason behind it at all, just some old pussy-ass shit. I said, I think it's time these pussy niggas get exposed. And I was like, man, it's got to be a beat that's going to get them and catch them right off the muscle. And I said, well, it's an OG song. We talking about an OG topic. Let's reach back and find a beat that we know will get their attention. And by we saying pussy niggas get exposed, to me, it just came to me like, man, we ought to try that Pussy, Weed, and Alcohol instrumental. Let's just kill that. And we turned that into Pussy Niggas Get Exposed, and without any commercial, any fanfare, anything, people can look up the streams right now. It's over 5,000 streams organically. No streams bought or none of that, with no commercials or anything.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah, it was a dope. Don't call her very unique. Yeah. Can you tell us about this song? Also, Tallahassee. It was a dope song, too.
Thank you. Yeah, we, like, everybody wanted to talk about selling dope on the corner or selling dope out of the house. Nobody ever wanted to talk about how the dope got there. So we took it upon ourselves to start, you know what I'm saying? That was our forte, just take the trips.
It was
the same, but something different. You know what I'm saying? That was our artistic twist on it. Talk about how the work actually got there.
Yeah. It was a dope song, very deep. You got this Gumbo Funk. It's a deep blue south, yes. And we would put it now, and we come back. So don't go nowhere. You have a Mr. Music Show.
Cruise at 65, sit back and just about that dude, I speeded up to 85. And now when niggas rolling in and out of this traffic, blowed off that weed, burning them niggas and laughing. That's when I heard this beat from my motherfucking buzz bust, about to get pulled over by this undercover motherfucker. Like, in this Brutus, this shit bitch didn't call me slipping. This shit then blew my high and put an end to my tripping. And now I'm knowing this, I ain't showing no motherfucking love. Told my nigga Ice to get the gat about that glue. A motherfucking Glock plastic with that red beam. My eyes the same color, cause I'm bullet off with the dean. Now, walking up to the driver's side of my car, just a smiling. Say, nigga, boy, I mean, sir, you got your license. Told him I couldn't find it, just to make him lean in. Came a little closer, pistol whipped him, then he broke his chin. He tried to run, and that's when I caught him in the grass. He tried to make his quick, I popped a holler, took a pin that ass. Now my click is scorching, and running low on petrol. Whipped it to the right, hit the exit, spotted Amoco to find another ride. Be my only fucking plan. I spot a white man, putting gas in the minivan. Tapped him on the shoulder, with hatred in his eyes. You better not ask no questions, just get your ass inside. And for this fucking ride, I sincerely wanna thank you. Can't talk right now, I got some shit to attend to.
Always got my eyes on the bubble, heart full of trouble.
Got my eyes on the bubble, heart
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back on Murder Mazo Music Show with the OGGB of BNLC. And yes, it was the eighth sound, the substance of Gambo Funk back in the day. And nowadays, it's still hard to have this type of sound, you know, this substance. Can you tell us about the maybe the sound now and the the youngsters don't have this real essence, you know? Maybe.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man.
You got a second album, was Vendetta, and yes, it was produced also by Big Urch, so it was a classic. So, can you tell us about this one?
The second album was Vendetta, was our second album.
Yes, sir.
That one right there got a lot of underground play throughout the South region.
And can you tell us about the processes with Big Urch, how it was to work with him?
Big Urch is he's a different kind of producer. He'll get it out of you. Like, he's a king of the melodies. Like, he'll take a sound and he'll be like, "What's that?" And before you know it, the best way to put it, he's on some Timberland shit. Like, he'll take the average old song, and he'll be like, "What you trying to do with that?" And you'll come back, like, the next day, and you'll be like, "Ah, wow, damn." So, yeah, he does his thing. So, to have somebody around there that can make beats like that, just at the spot, it only pushes you to write faster. And the faster you write, the more creative you got to be. So, you know, iron sharp as iron. It worked out for us.
Yeah, it's a genius. And you got a song for my homies. It was a dope song, so can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, For My Homies is all a true story, the entire song. Each verse, people took time to speak about friends that they lost. And at the time, I had lost like about 4 friends over the stretch of that year when we got ready to drop the album. So I decided to just give a clean 16 straight to the point, but then allow to still drop everybody's name that had passed in their verse. So, like, that was just, like, big to see them come up to me talking about, "Man, I appreciate you giving them a shout-out. Like, man, I'm glad somebody thought about them." Because, you know, this was way before people was really rocking T-shirts with their friends on them and all that. So the music was all you had when they left.
Oh, yes. Yes, and you got also the song Wuju, which was a dope too, dope song or so, back in the day. And how it was to grow up in Nashville in the 90s? Did you know the pioneers before you, the very first maybe rapper in Nashville, back maybe in the 80s? Do you know about it back in the day?
When I was coming up, even before I even thought about rapping, I knew a couple of guys that were going to the studio. Like, I had a friend of mine lived a couple of houses up from me, and he would, like, DJ, actually cut and scratch for this group called the Devastating Crew. So they were actually the first guys I ever seen to come together, put a group together locally, you know what I'm saying? And but far as success with people actually saying your name and wanting to come see you and all that, the biggest group out of Nashville at the time when I was coming up was the Blow Pop Crew with Walter D and Blow Pop them. Like, I actually saw people speak about that concert no different from a Run DMC concert or anything like that. Like, dude, Blow Pop Crew performing at the War Memorial. Like, those were like big shows back then. After the Blow Pop Crew, of course, before Cool Daddy Fresh broke and went solo, he was part of a group called New Style Posse. That was a dope group that came out of Nashville. You also had a guy named MC Desire. He had a lot of radio spins on the college stations and stuff up here because he had a song actually talking about Nashville back in the day called The Ville. But, man, I can go on and on about underground artists around here. You had guys like Eric McAnally, Rollo B. Man, the list goes on, man. CMF, shout out to Top Notch and his crew. It was a lot of people, man.
Yeah, Nashville.
Hello.
Yeah, you there? Yeah, Nashville. It's one of those areas that is very underrated because there's so much talent there. You know, like I was saying, like
it's
Black
hard
and Jay.
I expose it here because the main market that gets pushed around here, of course, obviously, is country music.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, we get our exposure. Unfortunately, have to travel. But now with streams and music and YouTube and all that, it's kind of opening the market back up for our city again. It's like all over again. We're creating our own lane again. But thanks to people like you giving us opportunities like this, and again, I say thank you. You know, we're shining a little light on our city again.
Yeah, we love doing that because, you guys are still there. You know, just the other day, MC8 dropped a new album. Public Enemy just dropped a new album. Paris dropped a new album. It's good to see this. You know, and there should be no age limit in rap because no other music, you know, like for example, you know, Rolling Stone fans, when they go on tour, you know, they want to go see them. You know, Willie Nelson drops a song, people want to go buy it. Why do you think it is in rap people tend to put an age limit on it?
Because we're the only one. We set the competition level so high, we always want to see the GOAT go. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, it's a dog-eat-dog competition. And it's sad like it sometimes because we stigmatize ourselves with that. Because one of our biggest problems, like you just said, you'll see a concert fan, the Rolling Stones, in Madison Square Garden, or you'll see Garth Brooks in the Staples Center. Now, the problem with what I just said about both of those, no disrespect to either one of them, but I never called either one of them old school, did I?
Nope, not once.
But see, every time we throw concerts, we label ourselves. So we cut off half our audience right there already.
And that happened early on in hip-hop. I remember as a kid, you go to, like, Coconuts or Music Land, and you would see these rap compilations. I think they're called Rap Masters. And they would say, like, old-school hip-hop tunes. So they were doing it back then. They were already trying to phase out the Curtis Blows and the Kumo D's and cats like that, you know, and yeah, I feel you, man. That's real talk. I never looked at it like that.
And another thing, though, with this industry, the longer you're in it, the more you'll learn. Whereas most rock and roll groups and stuff, they're cultured into their music. Like, their dad probably did it, or, you know what I'm saying, they had a garage band, and they went to the local pub somewhere and played and stuff. Like, when hip-hop, you really don't have those avenues, especially in Nashville. So,
yeah,
it's a hard hill to climb, and especially when you start labeling yourself. So I think once we get away from telling ourselves we're having old school concerts and all that stuff right there, I think we'll put a staple back on our music and start getting back to good music with substance in it.
Yeah, it's starting. I'm starting to see it right now. Like I said, that new Public Enemy record's fire. They remade Fight the Power 2020. They even did a track with the Beastie Boys and Run DMC. I mean, any hip-hop fan has been waiting for that for 40 years, you know, 35 years.
Right.
It's good to see this happen, man. And just like yourself, you haven't dropped anything since early 2000s, so it's good to see you come back, man, and I hope that this is the first of many more projects.
Thank you.
No doubt, man. And you know, anytime you do drop, we definitely want you to come back and chop it up with us. We're gonna get out of here. We got a couple more tracks, but before we do, I want to give you the floor. If you got any shout outs or if you want to give the people your info, man, it's all yours.
All right. We're going to start out by saying this is GBOG, member of the BNOC. I got a new project out right now called COVID-20. It's available on all streaming platforms. Again, COVID-20, GBOG, on all streaming platforms. I can be found on Instagram at BNOCGB, that's at BNOCGB, and on Facebook, I'm simply G Johnson. We keep it simple, Mr. Johnson. I appreciate y'all inviting me over to the Murder Dog Map show. I can't say thank you enough. I appreciate y'all coming by, giving me this opportunity to talk, to speak about the songs, the new music, the old music. I can't say thank you enough. And, man, if y'all ever have any concerts or anything down that way, please invite me, man. I'm pulling up like diapers.
Man, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what's up. We're going to get out of here to a couple tracks. Thank you so much for chopping it up with us. This one here is on everything, and then we got All the Time after that.
Now if you paying attention, ask yourself, do your OG really got a bag? Is that nigga seeing you get that shit that he never had? Them sucker missions got niggas fishing for open trust. That phony look, cause if you get cracked, he can give a fuck. That type of nigga that'll tell you you do what he got you. And stop answering the phone soon as they heard it, they popped you. With fake stacks and fake straps, he swears clout. How he thuggin' and his bitch won't let him leave the house. See all that pillow talking, only catch a pillow case. My OG's only taught a nigga how to feel a safe. And when you feel it, start you a business, stay in your lane. Get you a bitch with a bag and she'll never complain. The game, nigga, you lame niggas just probably missing. Go back and listen and apply the shit that you missing. I'm still with it, no fucks giving, it's GB. BNOC, real nigga, OG, yeah.
Said before, and I'm gonna say it again, and that's on everything I know, nigga. I make money all the time, and I'm a business all the time. I feel dope all the time. A nigga always on the grind, I make money all the time. Yeah, handle my business all the time. Yeah, I sell dope all the time. A nigga always on the grind. Wait a minute, now I get it. Nino, you the man. Can't stop my shine. Can't stop my grind. No, no, I ain't lying. I break bread all the time. Got no problems, I got shooters on the line. Got them in their feelings, I just flash my nine. Got your bitch. Lap, I'm throwing signs. Cut me through these dubs, yeah. Gotta get mine. She gon' give me whoop, yeah. Gotta get mine. Cook it up, make it bubble. Water whip, make it freeze. Kitchen hot as a mud. Yeah, 100 degrees. Floss a little drip. This shit here cause a grip. I'm a real dope boy, yeah. I'm the shit. Penny with the coke. Take a little sip. In and out of transport, yeah. Different whips. Fucking out them thoughts, yeah, different bitch. Real ass talk, no fake shit. I make money all the time. Handle my business all the time. I sell dope all the time. A nigga always on the grind, I make money all the time. Yeah, handle my business all the time. Yeah, I sell dope all the time. A nigga always on the grind. Put me in work, you know I do it all the time. Flip a pack, you know.
know I do it all the time. Bust a back, 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 you know I do it all the time. Load up the straps, back, back, you know I do it all the time. Smoke a sack, back, back, you know I do it all the time. Like a quarterback, back, back, you know I do it all the time. My wrist and neck, back, back, you know I do it all the time. Flip another pack, back, back, you know I do it all the time. I make money all the time,
all the time.
Handle my business all the time,
all the time.
I sell dope all the time,
all the time.
A nigga always on the grind,
on the grind.
I make money all the time,
all the time.
Yeah, handle my business all the time,
all the time.
Yeah, I sell dope all the time,
all the time.
A nigga always on the grind.
Now at the age of 8, I attended my first wake, not even grasping the fact that my daddy just passed away. I was young and dumb, infatuated by seeing fam. Losing my pop, I promise, wasn't even part of no plan. I'm in my front yard, here comes a line full of cars. Quickly followed by her, cause see the first one is a hearse. We headed to church, my mom's a sister, won't stop crying. My uncle hugging my brother, heard him whisper that he loves you. Look, this is the first time we met this bitch, cancer. Tiptoeing through niggas' family, but this bitch ain't no dancer. I remember the nights my mama staring at the phone, steady praying and wishing, hoping they say it's in remission. And with that song, see these tears go harder. Imagine trying to explain your 8-year-old, he just lost his father. But she did though, working over the feed folk. Where the hell you think I get this kiddie mode? I'm on some old fuck camp. Yeah, rest in peace, CP. That was the story of my daddy. Always serious. I guess it's only right I tell you about my brother.
I remember the morning the phone rung and I didn't get the answer. I checked my voicemail, my brother got stage 4 cancer. I heard it in the voice, my mama trying to sound strong. But see, this the same disease in the day that took my daddy home. My brother taught me how to sell dope and coke guns. This loud pack got me dreaming of giving them both lungs. Now ever since the diagnosis was official, I slowly watched his body shrink and shrivel. My mama watched my daddy fight and still die. And she gotta look at my brother and tell him still try. Now it was in God's hand, plus we got these doctor visits. Radiation, chemotherapy, and plus prescription. Nigga, listen, I'm in the yard on my knees, praying the pain to pass. These young niggas keep off them cats, boys fucking lower tail. I'm on the back, holding the yacht, wish I could kill cancer. 6 months left, they say hospice is the only answer.
Dang, that ain't the call you want, nigga.
R.I.P. serious, man. I love y'all, man. My daddy and my brother.
Man.
Fuck cancer.
Anybody that lost somebody to cancer, this one's for y'all, man.